Always a little risky when Ivan starts picking on Colorado and then he introduces me, so I appreciate it. One of my great memories in life is standing in Jasper, Missouri, remembering that's where Ivan Rush grew up and started his reign over the earth. So my role is mainly just to kind of coordinate these three guys behind me. We've conference called a little bit, having been involved with the Range Cow Symposium over the years, the one thing that always comes back to us is they like to hear from producers, people who are really doing it themselves. So I think our plan is, I hope everybody's still on track, we're going to have each one of them take, 5 or 6 minutes and just tell you about what they do, who they are, where they work, what their business is, and then from there we'll roll back around, the second round, about the way they manage their costs. That's in the proceedings. We've got it a little different order. But I'm going to first introduce Chip Ramsey. Chip is with Rex Ranches. He can tell you more about that. Chip's a well-known personality in our industry. After Chip has given his little intro, I think he's going to mention something about a drought that experienced in Nebraska, too, a little quickly. James Sewell. James, we had the opportunity to get acquainted with him when he attended CSU and is now back in Wyoming where he originated, and then followed by James Ed Blair from South Dakota. So I'm just going to ask each of them to give a little introduction, then we'll come back around with the meat of this topic. So, Chip.
It's good to be here today. I've been, as I walked around the trade show, and met a lot of producers that I know and recognize, and the thought that came to my mind was, I wonder how many of these guys turned down Jack before he finally had to call me. But I'm here anyway. I'm going to change the order up. I'm kind of a rebel. I'm going to tell you about the ranch in a little bit, but the first thing I want to do is just take you back through what we've been through a little bit. If you look up in the top corner over there, that's the date that the drought map was made, and this is off Google Maps. And see, that's the fall of 2011. Y'all know that dark is bad, green is good, right? And we're just going to file through this last 2 years real quickly. And there's March, there's May. We started doing some things in May of last year. We did some more in June. This is what it looked like in Whitman, Nebraska at that time. Then we got to August. We did a little more to try to cover up the red, and it got darker. This is what it looked like in August. September. November. December. Merry Christmas. February. It got to looking so good on the drought map, we decided to bring the cows home. We thought, oh, it looks like it's breaking. Can't you see that from the map? That's how brilliant we are. In May, we had to ship them back off. We shipped a few cows back off to try to make it through the summer. Then in June, we did grow some weeds this summer, though, by golly, and the cows loved them. They went after them. When they were green, they went after them. Weeds and sunflowers. They'll catch a lot of snow this winter. August, we're still kind of a little afraid of the thing. We went ahead and weaned early. That's where we are today. That's the latest map I could get a hold of. Isn't it funny what will put you in perspective? We're actually elated with the amount of grass we have on our ranch, and we're still in extreme drought. So there's nothing like hard times to make you appreciate a little something better. We're just tickled it's not dark maroon there, and it is still pretty close to us. Now, everything I'm going to talk about from now on is about managing cost. Everything that we associate, and I appreciate Julie's thoughts about managing cost. Yeah, you can squeeze the profit right out of an operation if you don't watch out. So everything I'm talking about is focused towards that. Now, I've got some things. I've got some graphs in here that I don't have lease rates in. Now, before Julie gets off her chair and comes up here after me, I'm gonna tell you why. Because what I've put in are the actual cost. I didn't put in opportunity cost, because you can put those in. I put figures in that you can take and add to you what you think your lease rate ought to be, because we have our lease rate. And you can add, too, I use the cost of the hay, and most of it's baled off the ranch. It's production cost. You can take that, because we keep track of how much hay we feed, and then you can take that figure and figure on what your costs are. You can put whatever dollar amount. So this is just bare bones cost as I go through when I get to some of those graphs. Maximize long-term profit by enhancing land, livestock, and human resources. This is how we do that. We enhance the land resource by disciplined written grazing planning. And we focus on giving the ground enough recovery time that we're not overgrazing. And how does that help us? How does that manage cost? It allows us to stock heavier. If we manage the goose correctly, we'll get a few more eggs. And capacity is everything. Used capacity is everything in managing cost. Enhance the livestock resource. We crossbreed. We use database genetic selection. And we use Bud Williams low-stress animal handling techniques. Why do we do that? We crossbreed because we are not good enough not to. We need a crossbred cow to cover up for our mistakes. We have employee turnover. We don't do things right all the time. We need a crossbred cow that can handle our mistakes, and she'll cover for us a lot of the times, the little mistakes. The big mistakes she'll still let us know about, okay? It's not an end-all, but since we're a commercial producer, and what we're looking at is producing pounds of quality beef, that's what we do. That's the reason we like that color in that herd. We like white faces. We like black cows. We like red cows. We really like red cows. And then the other thing is we try to handle them correctly so they can express all the genetic potential that they have. And I've got people working, the guys on that operation that could be speaking up here about that. We enhance the human resource. This is probably the most important thing. We try to hire good people that can handle the autonomy, and then we hold them responsible. And I say we. It's not me. We come together in a crew meeting. We put the numbers up on the board. Okay? And nobody's there to beat down anybody else, but everybody wants to have the best numbers. It's a healthy competition. And when people start saying, and then what happens there is, well, what's the next question? How did you do that? And then it starts to happen. And the meeting after the meeting, as Burke Tykert always said, is more important than the meeting. And that's probably the best thing that we try to do. We don't always do it correctly. To give you an idea about Rex Ranch, this is our labor force. This is, you know, we still have turnover. A lot of that's within the company, but some of it goes out of the company. Some of that times, as you all know, some of that turnover's good turnover. Every now and then you go, you've all done that, right? But we also encourage turnover when guys are going to better themselves, whether it be inside our company or out. We don't ever want anybody to be afraid to come to us and say, hey, I'm looking at this other opportunity. Oh, I hope that they come to me and ask about that. Because all I want is what's best for them. Okay? And of course, that also gives me a chance to keep them. Right? So that's, but the turnover, the less of that, the more money you're going to make. We're a ranch in the Sand Hills. We're around Hyannis, Nebraska, in between Whitman and Alliance. There's five different sections. We run about 80% cows, 20% yearlings. Our stocking rate, that's a year-round stocking rate, takes about 1,000 pounds to every 13 and a half acres if you're not in a 100-year drought. You double that, and that's what it is for a 100-year drought. We run our herds in large herds, 600, 950 head herds, and we rotate every 3 to 7 days in order to have at least a 100-day rest on that pasture before we come back to it. The meadows are less than that. Cow production practices, we calve in May and June now. We've just moved there since 2010. We wean from August to January, depending on the range condition and the body condition score of the cows. We may wean some of them and not wean others. We feed all our cattle now. We own a feed yard down in Santana, Kansas, the old Hitch 2 yard that we've bought down there. And so we don't sell a calf now. All our calves and yearlings go down there. We raise our own bulls and heifers. We're a closed herd. We bring in semen from the outside to try to keep things fresh. It's a composite breed of half Angus, half Simmental, half South Devon. That's been that way for the last 5 years. Before that, that South Devon breed kind of rotated around to other breeds of bulls, you know, Tarentaise. We've used lots of different other breeds in that deal over the years. Let's give you an idea of what the drought did to us. Now, again, there's no lease costs in there for the land. And the hay that's fed in that thing, for the most part, is our production cost. Now, you can see how things changed. What in 2011, which was a normal to good year for us, you can see how our costs were spread out. You can see what happened in 2013. See, it's a wonderful thing. I'll show you a deal where we feed a cow about 500 pounds of hay through the winter. That counts two-year-olds to mature cows. So that's what we average normally. That's a wonderful, wonderful system until you don't grow any grass. And then you got to pay the piper, which is what we did in 2013. We look a lot of things at in variable cost and fixed cost, and obviously we always have a war on fixed cost. We try to always drop those, but those are costs that aren't going to change easily if you're running a pretty tight ship. And the variable costs change with the number of head you run, which is basically feed and veterinary supplies, and you know that's mainly it. Because when we droughted out, I wasn't going to drop good men during a drought just because we didn't have any cows on the ranch, because they're way too valuable of an investment. So my labor, I call a fixed cost. That gives you an idea. That's got, now, that last one was calf cost. Both those charts were just calf costs. And this is the effect of drought on variable costs, and that's total pounds produced on the ranch. That would be calf weaning weight and yearling gain in the second year. And that's how it changed on the variable cost. And you can see the red is off-ranch feeding. The top green, light green, is on-ranch feed. You can see how that changed from back when it used to rain. Effective cost-saving management strategies. And I've just kept this to principles. try to hire good people and give them meaningful responsibility and reward excellent results. We match the cow cycle to the range nutrient cycle to reduce our supplemental cost. We develop low-maintenance crossbred females and ask them to harvest their ration rather than us feed them. And we try to know the cost for managing for extremes, because you got to be careful to manage for extremes. That can be very costly to do that. This is the results of that. The green line's the hay. Purple line's cake. That's pounds fed per cow for winter cost. For the winter, pounds of hay. Early on there in 96 and 97, you're looking at February calving. From 98, basically, to around 2004 or so, you're looking at March and April calving. And then you're looking mainly at April calving, April, May calving, and, you know, after that. And then you see the big drop is when we went to May, June calving. That saved us some money. There was a learning curve. I didn't bring the preg rate chart. I won't be able to show that for 10 years. But anyway, we did have a learning curve, but it has come back up. We went too low that first year, counting on the extra post-calving interval to help us out. This is what we do with our females, crossbred females. I guess now I got to call it the Funston method. Is that what Scott told me? Now, we run our yearling females as yearlings, and we let the bull tell us who's bred or who's good. And we've been able to reduce our second year cost by 25% doing that. Those heifers will breed anywhere from 60 to 80%, depending on how good a job we do based on those supplemental deals. And that's in 25 days, a 25-day breeding season. Now, managing for the extreme, because, you know, that's a heart-rending experience to figure out what am I going to do with all those cows, because what are we going to do? We don't have any grass. And it was costly. A lot of cows went to a feed yard and was fed the byproduct and the stalks, 30% distillers and ground up corn stalks for the winter. As many cows as we could get went out on corn stalks. It changed my variable cost by $300. Okay. From a normal year, what we usually do, which is 65 to 365, that includes the freight and the feed and everything else we put in those cows that's passed on to the calf. And these are all calf costs, so it includes weaning percentage. So if you take that and you look, and the yellow is the variable numbers that you can change, and I just put in some numbers for the indicating the size of the ranch. Now, I'm not supposed to tell anybody how many cows we've got, so this, let's just pretend this is a neighbor's ranch, okay? And so if we fed them 25 pounds of hay, if we manage for that drought, if you look at total inventory, we'd need to have on hand nearly 22,000 pounds of inventory of hay every year. Now, normally we feed about 3,000 tons, okay? Now, I said the wastage was the shrinkage on that hay from year to year on the carryover hay is just 15%. I've seen anywhere from 15 to 40%. Okay? I just put it at 15 for this calculation. We'd lose $252,000 a year just in shrinkage of inventory from keeping more hay than we needed. And then, for carrying that inventory, it cost to have it. And I just said, let's say we started out and we just went and bought the hay and we bought it for $100 a ton, okay, because if we didn't buy it, we'd have had to give up pairs to bale it. So at $100 a ton, it cost me $70,000 just in carry cost at 4%, 4% on that value of that hay. So $314,000 a year is what it cost me to manage for the drought, to be able to keep all those cows that I sent off the ranch on the ranch and feed them for that winter and have zero hay left as compared to my normal system. So I'd have to have a 100-year drought every 9.3 years to make that pay. And there's a lot of things I haven't figured in here, and I figured it pretty conservatively on the wastage and everything else. So you see, you got to watch about managing for the extreme. It was a horrendous experience for us to ship those cows off the ranch. But we may be more conservative in the future with our feed inventory, but we won't go to that point. We won't manage for a 100-year drought, and it'll burn us again if it happens next year. That would be all I have. Oh, no. Some ineffective cost management strategies. Poor hiring decisions coupled with sink or swim training philosophy. Here you go. Try it. And I've done both of those, okay? And they don't work. All they do is cost you lots of money. Supplementing too little at crucial times. You know, we went to May calving, and it's interesting, our old cows, they bred up there pretty close to what they had been. They managed that learning curve moving 30 days back. But our two-year-olds killed us. I mean killed us, made you sick, those young cows that were open. And so the next year, we gave them, what do I have here, a quarter of a pound of supplement a day for about 30 days. And we changed the preg rate by 15%. So supplementing too little, trying to squeeze that out of nothing, it can cost you a lot of money. What we're really in this business is not to lower cost. We're to increase margin to pay the bills. That's what we need to be talking about, is increasing margin. And then not spending time to plan or budget will bite you. Unless you're a hobby and you're making enough money in town and you don't like to budget and plan, then all power to you. I wouldn't plan or budget either. But if you're out there doing it for a living or that income matters to you, not planning or budgeting for what you're trying to do, so you have a plan, it's like having a written grazing plan. You can adjust to that budget, but you can't recreate a plan in a crash. You'll crash and die. Thank you.